people, what a night. Sorry. Hello, welcome to episode, oh Jesus, what did we say it was?
53.
Thank you. 53 of Divided by Werewolves. I apologize if this sounds weird. I logged onto my machine and said, oh, you need a new version of Skype. We're going to discontinue this version of Skype. Got the new version of Skype. And then Pamela was like, we don't work with that version of Skype. So cue Mitch listening to me swear at a computer for half an hour, which, given that you work in IT, I'm sorry I gave you flashbacks to your job.
No, that's fine. That's what I do all day long, so that didn't bother me.
So anyway, so I kind of have a weird setup now where I'm using my Mac and I'm like doing the QuickTime screen recorder of a – anyway, so if this sounds weird, this is why. But you'll be able to hear my drink a little better than you normally do. And I know my man on the other end is drinking the same thing, a little Gibson's Finest. 12-year Canadian whiskey. Okay. We have a lot of stuff to get to, so let's just get right into it. Real quick, so Hellblade, I am glad that you turned me on to this game. I've not been frustrated and enjoyed a game so much at the same time. I like it. I want to talk more about it when, you know, I'm finished with it. But, you know, I really enjoy one of the things about it that I don't like, which are the puzzles where you have to match symbols. I also kind of get why they do them, because, like, so much of this game is about, like, perception and her perception and all that stuff. So while I can't stand them mechanically, I think they work beautifully thematically. And I can't think of a time, like, normally when something doesn't work for me, I just go, yeah, I don't really care why, and I just don't like it. But that's not what's happening in this game. So despite my frustrations when I play it, I am enjoying it. And I look forward to talking more about it when I finish, which will hopefully be this week, because I'm going to have
I had to stop watching the streams after the first one.
Oh, really?
First or second one. Yeah, I had to stop watching. I felt so bad for saying how good it was and how much I liked it.
You don't have to feel bad. I mean, look, this is my process, right? Like, I get pissed off and frustrated, and then I come around. Like, you saw this with Monster Hunter. This is every home improvement project I've ever done. This is just part of the thing. But no, I think the people who made this game, including the actress who played Senua, who she actually won a BAFTA for her performance, I think they're all just mind-numbingly talented people. And if anything, I think that a game like this, which is new and has a take on mental illness that we haven't seen before, like, I'm glad I bought it, if anything, just to throw money its way so they make experiences like this in the future.
Yeah, that's probably that was probably the most upsetting of all the Microsoft acquisitions at E3 when they announced they bought Ninja Theory.
Yeah,
and I was just like, fuck.
Yeah. Okay, so three movies. Where do you want to start? Because so here's what we're going to try to talk about. Assuming we have time and my MacBook's battery lasts. The Meg, which is Jason Statham punching sharks in the face. Incident in a Ghostland, which is the new movie by the creator of Martyrs, not the American remake, but the actual original.
Right.
And then A Dark Song, which I have to say, I'm kind of surprised you and I didn't talk about, because I swear I saw it while we were doing the show, and I can't imagine I would have let that go.
Yeah, that one I happened upon because I remember I was watching something or listening to something, and somebody was talking about a movie, and they were like, this one gave me, like, Session 9 vibes. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out what movie it was, and so I was looking up, like, top horror movies, this and that, and A Dark Song kept popping up, and I'm like, I don't think that's it. Mm. And it turns out it wasn't.
Right.
But I'm so glad I fucking watched it.
Right. Okay, well, let's get into The Meg, because that's the one that we talked about earlier. So, you know, it's funny, I came upstairs after we did our last show, and I said to my wife, I need to go see The Meg. And she was like, why? And I said, because Mitch wants to see it, and we're going to talk about it on the show. And she goes, oh, well, Ben wants to see it. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. So I said to him, do you want to go see the Meg? He's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, okay. So he goes, you don't want to see it? I said, not really. I said, but we're going to talk about it on the show. So, you know, I'll take you. And he was like, okay, cool. And we left. We got home from watching the movie, and my wife said, how was it? And I said, let me put it this way. We each saw the movie we thought we were going to go see. my son, he thought it was awesome. I thought it was less awesome.
Less awesome.
Yeah. So where do you fall on the Meg?
So for me, and maybe it's just because I had this affinity for shark movies and even bad ones in particular, but I sort of felt like, you know, I know that the director and Statham both came out after the studio cut it to PG-13 and said, if we had known this is what you were going to do, we wouldn't have made it, because they made it an R-rated movie.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I am glad to hear that, because what I said to my wife was, there are scenes where this thing is swimming among people. Like, here's all I wanted to hear when it's swimming among a beach of people is, like, the most, like, mind-breaking sound of limbs cracking, right, and flesh rending and screams of people caught up in, yeah, this frothy, just destructive, mm-hmm, mass in its mouth. Like, I was like, how, yeah, this thing could open up its mouth and feed on Singapore swimmers like a fucking, you know, humpback cuts through a cloud of krill. Like, how do I not, right, it was not, how is it these people are not traumatized by the sound of what they heard that will be with them until they die?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, and from what I gather from the comments, especially from the director, and I don't remember his name, but I'm guessing the beach scene looked more like the end of the Piranha remake.
Okay, that would have made that would have made things so much better. Yeah. That would have made things, because
the thing is, you know, the studio is always about money, and this guy. Hold on, though.
Was it about money, or was it the Chinification of movies?
Oh, I don't know about that. I would guess money, just because the studio knew that it had spent $100 million, and then they probably saw that scene and were like, oh shit, like, this, once word of mouth gets out about the ending, nope, that kids aren't going to be able to see it. Nobody's going to want to go see this thing. But I didn't think about the other part. So.
Well, sadly, though, it worked, because it made huge money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I get it. I was just sort of disappointed, because I was expecting, you know, I was hoping. But then I had read before, so I sort of knew what I was getting into. And basically, the way I walked out of it was, you know, if you saw the trailer, you know whether or not you want to watch this movie. It's, right, not going to surprise you. It is what it is.
Right. And I think the fact that it was PG-13, like, I couldn't tell you what Jaws was rated. I have no idea. But ratings back then, exactly, right. That's what I told my son. I was like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't rated R. But ratings back then were a totally different thing than they are now. And once I saw it was PG-13, I was like, okay, it's not going to have all of the hot shark on person action, right, that I would, yeah, want to see. And that's, you know, for me, I think, you know, I think growing up with Jaws, and I'm not trying to be like an old person, but growing up with Jaws being such a formative movie for me as it is, it really does. Like, I can say like a Sharknado type of thing. Like, I can put that in like a camp mindset, and then you give it a more leeway. But, like, that, what's it, 47 meters down or whatever? The,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, any movie that's a serious movie that has shark, like, it just, I can't not, like, right, compare it to Jaws, because Jaws was such a huge thing for me,
yeah,
growing up, that it just, you know, for good or for ill, it just, you know, ends up looming large over any shark movie that I watch.
I will say that was one thing from the Meg that I did appreciate, or sort of, you know, because this very easily could have just been $100 million sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
And I was surprised, honestly, because if you look at the marketing and you look at the way the trailers are cut, I was surprised at just how serious it took itself.
Mm-hmm. And you know what frustrated me about it was there was a lot of really good, kind of genuine, funny character beats and interactions between them but you know, for every one of those, there was then something that just kind of like clunked when it landed. And it just made me mad because, like, there was a time, like when the whale got eaten, I had to clamp both hands over my mouth to keep from laughing hysterically. So for every moment like that was like, you see it coming, like, you know, you can just tell from the way the shot is framed or just what they've done up to that point. Like, you know what's coming. For every one of those, there was, like, an interaction between the crew or just a little character beat thing or just a little thing of humor that I didn't expect. And I was like, fuck, there was actually, like, a good movie here. Like, they shot a bunch of good stuff that was funny and it was entertaining and it told you who these people were and how they interacted with each other. And, you know, and it established that they had a working relationship. You know, it wasn't just that they were, you know, in this the bottom of the ocean together. And I just got mad then because I was like, I want more of those things because they're there. They're just not there enough to carry the whole movie. And that just really, and I don't, I would have preferred almost that those things weren't there because then I could just be like, it was bad. It sucked. You know, I didn't like it. But because those things were there, you know, like, I really was like, fuck, like, you know, there was like a better movie somewhere in there. And I don't know if it's necessarily a factor of, like, gore that would have made it come out or just spending, I don't know, just maybe editing it differently, you know, because for every kind of funny moment, there had to be, like, this kind of serious, like, you know, we're gonna, whatever, I don't know, like, I didn't dislike it as much as I thought I would, but I also, you know, didn't like it enough to be like if this was if my son hadn't wanted to go see it and we weren't going to do it for the podcast, I would have waited until it was on, like, whatever streaming service was on, right, and then I'd watch it and be like, yeah, that was exactly kind of what I thought it was. But so I mean, but how did you? I mean, aside from, you know, the PG-13-ness of it, like, you wanted to see Jason Statham, you know, kick a shark in the face. So, I mean, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, like I said, man, I got exactly what I kind of wanted out of it, other than the fact that I was pleasantly surprised that it took itself seriously. But I thought the shark looked good. The CG wasn't distracting. You know, some of it was iffy, but, you know, you could tell it was a $100 million movie. You know, the pacing was fine. I thought, you know, it didn't make that criminal, like, cardinal sin of not showing us the shark. Took a minute.
Yeah,
but once he was there, you know, you saw him.
I think my only issue with that was, you know, when they caught that first shark, and I'm just like, am I supposed to think that this is it? Because you know, there's a
that
whole,
so
you know, in the trailers, you know, first of all, yeah, just runtime alone, pretty sure this isn't an hour-long movie.
Right.
It's not nearly as big as y'all said it was. And then
that was stupid.
We haven't seen the dog swimming. We haven't seen the people swimming. You know, there's a lot we haven't seen. So do you – and that's one of those things where, you know, I always wonder when they – you know, when you write a movie like that, like, when you know, there's been plenty of movies, and I wouldn't necessarily qualify that as a twist. I don't, you know, I'm not saying it's that type of thing. But when you're asking the audience to believe that, like, is that what they were doing? Were they asking the audience to believe that this was the shark that bit the research station?
Right.
Or were they just saying, hey, we didn't say more than one shark got out when the plume erupted?
Right.
You know, and that's always kind of like, I have a hard time because, you know, with marketing and everything, and it's funny because my wife always says, I hate to watch trailers because if I see a scene in the trailer and it hasn't happened in the movie, I spend the whole movie going, well, I haven't seen that scene yet. Mm-hmm. And I normally don't do that, but in this case, I knew. I was like, well, that's not the shark because, you know, we haven't seen the scene at the beach. But, like, when they make the movies, are they expecting us to think, like, to actually believe it or just to kind of go along with it and be like, yeah, that's not it. Want to see what happens next?
You're right. That was so corporate, like telegraphed.
Oh, yeah, when that guy was in the water, I was like, yeah, okay.
He wouldn't
like,
get out of the water.
There's no reason for you, right? There's no reason for you to be in the water right now this long other than you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that led to one of the coolest shots of the movie, I thought.
Yeah. You know what I thought my favorite shot, I think the coolest shot of the movie, was when, what's her name, Lee Bingbing? She's in the shark cage, and it's shot from the bottom, and she's coming down with all the bloody chunks of chum kind of going down. I loved that shot. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And just the idea, like, when they kept... You know, when they kept talking up about how, look, the cage, it's not going to break. It's not going to break. It's not going to break. Well, of course you would expect that it fucking breaks, but it doesn't break. And she's like, yeah, it's swallowing me. And I was like, okay. Like,
well, that's what I would not have expected.
That's pretty cool.
I said that immediately when they kept saying it's not going to break. And I'm like... This motherfucker's swallowing boats. It's gonna swallow that shit.
Yeah, it did. That I just expected them to go, well, it just, you know, it breaks. You know, it's stronger than we think it is. And that right there is what, you know, like that whole sequence I thought was great. But it's just there wasn't like enough of that kind of around it to where, you know, to just make the experience as a whole, you know, something that I kind of was glad that I did. Like, I'm glad I did it so that we could talk about it, but, and I'm glad my son liked it. It was funny because my wife was like, she goes, well, do you think he liked it because he's, you know, 15? And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, that's part of it. Like, I saw a lot of movies as a kid. Like, I have made it a point to never watch Ice Pirates again because I fucking one of the first decapitations I ever saw on screen was Ice Pirates, and I fucking love that movie, and I don't want to watch it again in case it sucks. And I said, I don't know, I mean, he's 15, he, you know, this is like, you know, you're kind of, he doesn't watch a lot of movies, so I don't really know kind of how, what he's kind of comparing it to. But also, I mean, I just he could have just liked it. Like, I don't think it was so, like, it didn't, you know, disconnect with me on such a level that I was like, I don't understand how anybody likes it. There were people in my theater that were laughing. There were people that were like, you know, I mean, there were people in the theater with me that like really enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, like I can kind of see, I can see why you did. It just wasn't my thing. You know, so for him, I'm like, I don't know if it's just because he hasn't, like, this is the first giant shark movie he's seen. And he hasn't really, you know what I mean? Gotcha. And maybe Jaws for him would be like, okay, that doesn't look real at all. You know what I mean? Or he'd be
right.
I mean, I just think of when, you know, the fucking shark comes on the boat and bites Quint in half. Like, I'm sorry, but like, I don't know how you can, I've seen it a million times. I still get traumatized by it. I don't know how that can't, like.
I almost can't watch it.
Or just his speech about, you know, the Indianapolis sinking and, you know, I mean, that whole thing. I mean, it's just, but you know what? Maybe he would watch that and be like, I don't care. It's not whatever.
This is boring. Yeah.
Right.
My kids love Jaws, but, you know, there's no way they couldn't because they have to watch it so many times a year because it's my number two of all time. So if it's on, we watch it. And that doesn't count the times I take it off the shelf with the Blu-ray in.
My wife won't watch it. So if I watch Jaws, I have to watch it alone. She was...
Well, you know, it's just me and the kids. So
when she... She saw Jaws as a kid, and this is not, I'm not exaggerating. She was afraid to take a shower because she thought Jaws was going to come out, not through the drain. I know what you're thinking. She didn't think the shark was going to come up through the drain. She thought it was going to come out through the shower head.
Man, I remember vividly, because my dad let me watch Jaws way too young. Mm-hmm. I vividly remember not wanting to put my feet on the floor.
Yeah.
Let alone get in a shower.
See, and I don't remember when I saw Jaws, to be perfectly honest. I just remember thinking that is the most badass. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, it in many ways you and I are lucky because we were alive at a time when, you know, this idea of a summer blockbuster hadn't really come out yet. So if there was a movie that came out and was popular, 3-4 months later, you could still have a pretty good chance of seeing it in the theater. 6 months even. And so, you know, there's such a rush nowadays because, you know, these studios, they got to make that money. That first weekend is fucking killer because it's going to drop off 50, 60%, you know, the next weekend. So, I don't know, for us, I feel like some of these things that we saw, they mattered as much as they did because we weren't seeing something like it every weekend. So when you went and you saw Empire or you saw Raiders, or that was it for you for weeks, you maybe went and saw it again, but most likely that was just the thing you saw. At least for me, that's how it was. And so,
same.
I, you know, I wonder, like, if I said to my kids, okay, we're going to watch Jaws, and they watch it, and then they can go upstairs and literally bring up, what, millions of movies between Prime and Netflix and YouTube?
Right.
I mean, the impact of it would be like, yeah, okay, Dad, that's a shark movie. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, yep.
Anyway, that was a tangent. Sorry. This Gibson's got me in my feelings.
Taking me back.
I mean, you know, it's I don't know. I love it.
Here's why I love movies like The Meg, and I always will. I feel like these are the modern day Atomic Age movies.
Yeah, like, yeah.
This is
that's
the
a great point
today, right?
Yeah, this is them
the tarantula. Of
I loved them. I loved. Yeah, I remember. Too. I remember watching that. I remember watching the original, The Thing, with my grandfather.
Yes.
And then at the end, it said, you know, the end, and then a question mark. And I said to him, "What is that? What does that mean?" And he said, "Well, maybe it's not over." And I was like, "Holy shit!" Like, you want to talk about, like, fucking, you know, 8-year-old Brandon's mind blown? That right there, a fucking question mark at the end of the original The Thing. That was enough.
Yep.
But no, I agree with you. That's an excellent point. And the production levels are great. Are better than a Sharknado or a six-headed shark, or, you know.
Absolutely. This is a real movie.
Right. So you can, you know, our kids can watch it and be like, oh, yeah. You know, when they're young, older, they're like, oh, yeah. I remember my dad took me to this movie. It was about a big, giant, big shark. And, you know, at the end, this guy stabbed it in the eye while he was flying through the air. And, you know, now that I think of it, it was kind of dumb, but I liked it because, you know, we went together and that type of,
Absolutely. That's not dumb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a little weird. I did like the undercut though, like the, you know, kind of the anime, like, you know.
Fucking ninja scrolled that shark.
I have to say though, like, Jason Statham, he's just so good. Like, he's just watchable. Like, I've seen both Crank movies. I'm not proud of that. The first one, fine. But the second one, like, if you watch Crank 2, I think that says something about you. Like, mostly that you don't really have, you don't have a right talking about movies. But I really like Jason Statham. Like, I just, you know, I mean, he's a guy that if there's a movie on with him in it, I'll fucking give it a try. Like, I like him more than The Rock. I know that's probably, like, not the right thing to say. I think I probably should, actually. I mean, I like The Rock, but if you had said to me, I'm going to go see Skyscraper, I'm going to be like, well, you enjoy that. And you can tell me all about it.
I can't wait to watch that when I can watch it after spending no dollars on it.
Right, right. And there's nothing against The Rock. I like him. Like, I think he was great in Moana. I've liked him in all the Fast and Furious movies. Like, I think he seems like a really cool guy. But I don't know. There's just something about Jason Statham that – I don't know if it's because watching him come up in, like, you know, Transporter, you know, these kind of, like, dirtier kind of action movies that nobody's supposed to give a shit about, even The Expendables, right. You know, kind of watching him, you know, come up in those things.
Well, so here's the thing, right? So, you know, let's not kid ourselves. The Rock and Jason Statham would both destroy me.
Yeah.
But – I feel like The Rock would just fucking hulk up on me, right? Whereas Statham would be calculated and be using maneuvers and shit. And, like, I don't know. I feel like I could take a punch from The Rock and get up a little bit. But, like, I think Statham would break me down so quickly that I would be in a coma in, like, 10 seconds.
I think the difference is if I got in a fight with both of them, at the end of my fight with Jason Statham, we would go have a pint together.
Oof. Once I came to, maybe.
Well, yeah, and I mean, obviously, I drink it out of a straw, but that's why, like, I'm disappointed that they're doing a Fast and Furious spinoff. Not because of what it means for Fast and Furious, but honestly, a fucking Tango and Cash remake is right there. It's right there.
My God.
Right?
I need that.
Right? Like, I mean, I'll even take a completely digital recreated version of Jack Palance, so we can go Cash and Tango, Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Which is funny, because they're like, hey, remember that thing you did in Batman? Do that. Or if Tango and Cash came out afterwards, they go, hey, remember that thing you did in Tango and Cash? Do that. Because I'm not good with dates. But, I mean, come on. Those two, as that, and even, you know what, if you want to call whatever they call it, Hobbs and Shaw, or Shaw and Hobbs, or Calvin and Hobbs, or fucking Calvin Ball, whatever the fuck they want to call it, Spaceman Spiff, I don't give a fuck. But here's what I need you to do, and if you're listening, people, because I know the Fast and Furious creators, they are dialed in, especially after my fucking epic, epic cinematological episode on Too Fast, Too Furious, they need to go, let's just get Tango and Cash and just make that movie and we'll just call it Calvin and Hobbes or whatever. Can I tell you something? I was embarrassed but also not, because this is completely on brand and this is a spoiler alert for the upcoming cinematological episode in which I tell everybody how awesome Too Fast, Too Furious is. Through the entire episode, I said the director's name was John Singletary. It is John Singleton.
Ah,
I am so bad at it. He's like, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't have you. I can't have you. And I said, no, dude, that's totally fine. I'm terrible with names. Like, I was like, have you heard our show? Do you know what we got into?
Listen, yeah, I never would have known the difference if you hadn't told me, so.
Strap in, motherfucker. Because I got an hour on Paul Walker locked and loaded. Anyway, you're going to have a good time. It is a fun show to do. He's great.
Yeah,
you are going to have a blast. I can't wait to watch your episode. I cannot wait.
I'm pretty excited to do it. I haven't seen that movie in a few years, so.
Yeah, he's – I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a great show. So anyway, people who are listening right now, this is the Cinematological. It's a YouTube channel. Darvin, he's a guy who's been a fan of JTS for a while, watches the show listens to the show, follows both Mitch and I on Twitter. So he does this really awesome YouTube show where he'll take a movie that people consider to be bad and he'll make a case as to why you should like it anyway. And so I went on his show – to talk about Mitch's favorite movie, Too Fast and Furious. Mitch is going to be on his show to talk about Jason X. And it's super fun. And he's a great guy. And I think you're going to both,
yes.
I think you're going to enjoy both of the episodes in which we're in. And I honestly, I can't wait to do it again. I hope we talked about Ninja Assassin because I fucking love that movie.
Nice.
But he also mentioned on Twitter the other day about, oh, I think I need to do an episode about, and I can't remember the movie he said, but in my head I was like, fuck yeah, sign me up, bro.
I said the same thing. I remember exactly what you're talking about, but I can't remember the movie either.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, check him out on YouTube, and then, of course, we'll tell you when we're on. But, so, okay, based on how well The Meg did, and that they established that more than one shark got through in the first place, do you think they'll make another one?
Probably, and I think that's a bad idea, unless they get the same director and let him do whatever he wants.
But I don't think they would do that, because I think they would look like, it's just like, it's like Deadpool, right?
Yeah.
So Deadpool was fuck this, fuck that, fuck your mom, fuck me, right, fuck her. And they're like, yay, R-rated superhero movies. Logan, R-rated. And, you know, yeah. Jackman wakes up and is like, fuck. You know, if Deadpool had completely fallen on its face, there's no way Logan would have been R-rated, if it was made at all.
Right.
So I kind of feel like if they went, yeah, well, here's the thing. You wanted to make all these, you know, Chinese people, like, torn limb from limb, and we made you do PG-13, and it made a shit ton of money, so we're just going to do that.
Yeah.
But the question is whether, you know, Statham would do that. I mean, it depends. Maybe if he knew going into it what it was, he'd be willing to do it, and what was the right issue here was the fact that it wasn't what they said it was going to be.
Right.
But who knows? All right. So next up is Incident in a Ghostland. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So I don't, unfortunately, actually, no, wait. I have my laptop. I can look at it right now. So the guy who did the original Martyrs, which, you know, I still don't, I watched it. I thought it was fine. I still don't understand, like, why people, you know, kind of list it as like one of the best horror movies ever.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, for me, it was, I mean, I Pascal Laugier. Okay. You know, I think that, you know, for it, for them kind of framing it to be one way and then it turning into another thing, I thought was great. Yeah. But then the ending for me was just like, it was like every other kind of religious cult type of movie where, you know, the big cheese gets the message and they're not equipped to handle it.
Yeah.
But,
well, for me, it was just the level of brutality.
Brutality. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just, you know, I didn't know what it was about. And then it starts off and you think it's one thing. And then by the end, I was just a fucking wreck.
Right. And this movie is very similar. And I think I don't know if we should spoil it or we don't have to spoil it. I think we probably don't have to spoil it.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, so we won't spoil it. This movie is similar in that you think it's one thing and then it turns into another thing. But the relationship between those two parts is a lot closer in this movie than it was in Martyrs. Yeah. And it is far, in my mind, it's far less brutal than Martyrs.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot, I think that, it's a lot easier of a watch. It's almost, it's actually pretty mainstream if I had to hang a name on it, in terms of what goes on. Do you think so or no? I mean, given, like,
well,
you know, Hereditary.
Yeah, so here's my thing with this dude. So, you know, I saw Martyrs, and I was like, geez. I think it was him. Let me look real quick. I think the next movie he did was this movie called Levied.
I have not seen that.
Never came out over here. And I think that wasn't him. All right, never mind. So the next thing I saw from him was The Tall Man with Jessica Biel.
I have not seen that.
And I was like, that was as tame as movie yet. And I kept waiting for the twist and the fucked up shit to start in The Tall Man.
Yeah, but Jessica Biel.
And so I think maybe.
But did you think, like, Jessica Biel would be in that kind of movie? Like a Martyrs kind of movie?
Maybe. I mean, she did Texas Chainsaw Remake, and that was pretty
good. Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot. Okay.
So I thought, well, hey, you know, this is this guy. Maybe she just liked the story enough. And the story was interesting. It was just like I kept waiting for the twist or the change or the whatever. And that one never did it. And so then when I sat down to watch this one, I was like, okay, I'm either going to, like, be less interested in this guy as a director from now on, or this is going to turn it back to where I got to see everything he does. And for me, this one changed my dial back to whatever he does, I'll watch it.
No, I would agree with that. Like, I mean, I haven't seen Tall Man, but I like his, you know, kind of playing with expectations, you know, to where, and I don't think it's like a, you know, it's not like, you know, kind of like, oh, this is my thing. I think it's just a really good, he's just good at kind of blending, you know, not necessarily blending genres, but just kind of playing with your expectation. I mean, Martyrs was definitely a blending of genres. It was like, okay, I think it's this kind of movie, and then it takes a right turn, and you're like, oh, no, it's this kind of movie. And the second kind of movie, oddly enough, was way more fucked up than the first kind, even though the first kind was incredibly fucked up. And in this case, Incident, it's not quite like that. I don't really feel like it necessarily is two different types of movies. I think it more, it just plays with your, it plays with the viewer's perceptions of what is going on.
Exactly.
To the point where, and we had talked about this afterwards, where, you know, when you're done with it, I think he was trying to put doubt in your mind as to whether the ending was real in terms of like the movie. I think it was. I think that I don't think, and I think it was obvious enough that it was, that I don't know if he really was trying to make you reconsider, or it was just like a fun, just kind of a little aside almost. Like, yeah, maybe people will think it.
Yeah, that was, like I said, that was my, when I messaged you about, I'm sitting here wondering, like, I think that was like my imagination or sort of my hope that there was one last, hey, fuck you in there. Not that I wanted it to end differently than it did. I was fine with the ending, but.
Yeah, you know, I was too, because, you know, Martyrs was not a great ending in terms of like, if you were invested in the characters, it did not work out. And in this movie, you get, the viewer gets a little bit more of a payoff. And honestly, I get conflicted about that because, you know, so many horror movies, at least one, or I guess slasher, well, I guess horror movies, or, well, no, I guess more slasher movies. You know, you always kind of have that, you know, the person who survives at the end. And, and so, you know, there has been such a turn lately of horror movies ending horrifically, you know, for all parties involved. I really don't know, like, what the right subversion is anymore. If it's, like, if it's a horror movie, it's all been horrible, so it should end horribly. Or, no, we're going to flip that, and it's going to end great. I'm just like, I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to want to have happen? Because, you know, on the one hand, if you become invested in the characters, you know, you would want them to survive, but it also is a horror movie. So if it, you know, if it's kind of really sticking to horror, then it shouldn't end well, you know?
Right.
And so I don't really know what a...
Well, for me, like, and it's weird for me, especially with slashers, it sort of depends. It depends on the villain. Like, if I like the villain, then I usually root for the villain.
Sure.
Like, I root for Jason, I root for Freddy. They're not going to win.
Right.
Both 9 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10 in some cases.
Well, they don't win in that movie, but they tend to win in the next one.
Sure. You're right, right. But in the case of this, I did not like the killers, or the villains
around. Yeah.
I was just like, Jesus. Just like every time. I'm like, stab that.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Shoot that motherfucker. I couldn't wait.
I mean, I don't want to spoil things, but we do need to get, I think we need to put permanently to bed the killer, the guy in drag. Like, we need that just, like, I, you know what? I loved Dress to Kill. I love you know, tits just as much as the next straight guy or, you know, whatever. But, you know, that movie was horrible in terms of, you know, you know, how it treated trans characters. And I feel like in 2018, like, we just kind of passed that, you know, like, and I don't, and I'm not saying that you can't have trans actors or characters in movies, but for them to be so clearly not like, oh, that's not a woman. Like, that's a guy dressed as a woman. And that, and I'm not saying that, that's not what I'm saying about, like, trans people. What I'm saying is that I think in this movie, that's what this was. And then, you know, I just don't, although I did love the line, hey, do you mind if I steal your mother away? That line was fucking great. I was like, okay, like that, you know, that was great. And I'm not spoiling things for anybody, but that, I thought that line was fucking amazing. I thought that was fantastic. Yep. And I kind of almost feel like part of the reason why they had him in drag is so that when that happened, you didn't quite realize what it was.
Yeah.
But anyway. But yeah, like, if you watch Martyrs and bounced off of it because it was so brutal, I think this movie is worth watching.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, we didn't really talk about the plot or whatever.
Well, it's hard to, because...
Yeah.
Well,
if you could, like, read the synopsis, right?
Yeah, so we can get into it. So basically, these two girls and their mom, the mom inherits this house, like their aunt's house. They go to it. They move there. One of the girls is she wants to write horror stories. Her sister, we don't really know. Her sister just kind of, they don't get along. So the first night they're there, they move into this town, and there's, like, been a rash of home invasions and killings. And first night they're there, wouldn't you know it, but their house gets invaded by these people that have been killing people. And the mom kills one of the people, girls get away. But years later, the one daughter, she grows up, she becomes a successful horror writer, and she gets a call from her sister who never got over the attack. And goes back home because her sister's living with her mom. Her sister locks herself in the basement, has these horrible, like, post-traumatic kind of flashbacks of what happened. So she goes to kind of help, and she's kind of never been back. And then shit goes kind of sideways from there. I liked it. You know, I liked it more than I liked Martyrs, to be honest. And I don't know if it's because going into Martyrs, I had an expectation of it being this, like, super amazing thing, and I just wasn't feeling it. But this movie, I didn't really have anything other than you telling me, oh, hey, this is – and it's kind of a rough watch, but, you know, it's the guy who did Martyrs. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, like, check it out, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely worth
it. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Definitely worth watching. I mean, it's been a pretty good year for horror movies. I can't wait for, I mean, Halloween's going to be the fucking topper. Yeah. Overlord, too. I think Overlord, I'm kind of, you know, I don't know, the whole, like, Nazis doing, you know, occult Nazi things.
Sure.
You know, we've kind of seen that forever. But, right. I'm interested in seeing kind of what they do with it. But Halloween is really the one for me that I'm just like, I really hope it's good.
I do.
All right. So last but certainly not least is A Dark Song, which came out, I want to say, was it 2016 or?
16, I believe is what it said, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know where I saw it. It would have been Netflix or Prime or something like that. And again, like, I, you know, you keep kind of seeing these lists floating around of, you know, whether it's best horror movies on a streaming service or best horror movies of X number of years or blah, 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 blah. And I watched it. And like you, I was like, I kind of thought it was something different. I'm glad didn't end up being what I thought it was going to be because I thought it was.
Yeah.
Fucking great. Essentially, this woman hires this guy. I don't know if he's like a medium or an occult expert.
Occultist, yeah.
Yeah. She wants to try to contact her son who had died. And they hold themselves up in this house and kind of perform these rituals so that she can contact him. And it kind of goes from there. And I mean, it's just like when I was a kid, I was super into that type of shit. Like, you know, languages, different languages, and, you know, like how, you know, you get a, even though you find your copy of the Necronomicon in a Walden books, not at, like in some, you know, not in a chest with 16 chains buried, you know, at the bottom of a sealed up well. No, not there. You after going to Spencer Books, after going to Spencer Gifts and eyeing as much free porn as you can, you head next door to the Walden Books. You while your mom is still at Macy's, and you pick up a copy of the Necronomicon, and you're like, this shit is real. But as a kid, I was always super into that stuff, and I always was just like, yeah, it's real. Like, I was never religious, but I was always like, you know what? Maybe it's not real, but maybe it is, and we shouldn't fuck with it.
Yeah. You know, that was one of the interesting things I read about this movie after the fact was the director, he was like, they wanted to use, like, a real ritual, but he was so afraid that he'd really conjure something, he changed specific little parts of it just so it'd be different enough to not do shit.
So when I was in college, my best friend Dennis, who this was our freshman year, he ended up rooming with me sophomore through senior year. But freshman year, we didn't room together, and he had a copy of the Necronomicon, and he wrote like a bunch of the symbols on his dorm floor. Right. And his dad, who had been in the Navy, and had kind of a bit of a, you know, he had his own issues and stuff, but he came to visit and he said to Dennis, "The fuck is that on your floor?" And Dennis goes, "Oh, it's like a Sumerian symbol." And before he could even finish, he goes, "Yeah, I know what the fuck it is. Why is it there?" Dennis was like, we saw it in a book, and he goes, "Get rid of it." And he wasn't like religious. I was like, holy shit, this cat's seen some stuff. Like, that's like, you know, you're just like, you know, you're trying to break the line, like. And I don't know if his dad was just fucking with him or he just was like, I don't want that or what, but I was like, holy shit, he went to far off lands. And he saw things that turned men's minds. You know, like, I'll never forget that. And I'm just like, I'm going to go now. But anyway, I like the movie. I think it's great. I think it's a lot of setup for a fantastic finish.
I will say that, yes. If you are not into a slow burn, maybe this isn't your movie.
Yeah.
Because it's a slow burn.
It is a slow burn, but at the same time, like I liked the two characters, like the kind of the guy that she, you know, ends up with. You know, he's just like, look, nobody else is going to do this, so it's either me or nobody. And she's like, okay. Yes. And then the shit he kind of tells her to do, like, it's not great stuff at all. And he kind of fucks with her over that too, you know.
This movie so far as the scene that's made me the most uncomfortable out of any movie this year.
Yes, absolutely. And shit. You know, and then, but she's stuck because she's like, well, this is what, you know, what I want. And
this has been said, we're going to be here for months. Yeah. So if you were to back out, this is it.
Right.
This isn't like a week thing. Like there, it's, this movie is one location, two people, and that's it.
Yeah. For months. And then the payoff I thought was great because I can't remember why she wanted to talk to him. Like her reasoning was different than what she told him, right? Like that was part of the problem.
Right. Yeah. She said she missed her son and she wanted to talk to him again. And then you find out later that that's not the case, that something happened with her son and she actually wants revenge.
That's right, yeah. But, and then that, even that kind of turns.
Right, yes.
And it was just really, really well done.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
But it was really, it was freaky, and it was, you know, kind of, you know, like, I've never owned a Ouija board because, again, like, I know why tempt it? Like, I don't, like, I'll watch movies, like, ha 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 ha. But, I mean, I think part of it for me is that, honestly, you know, I'll watch a slasher movie, fuck it, whatever, who cares? I'll watch a monster movie, eh, fuck it, whatever, who cares?
Right.
You show me a demonic possession movie, we're going to have some problems. And I don't know if that's just, I mean, I was raised religious, and that's just rattling around in there. Like, I don't, you know, when I think of the devil, I'm not like the guy on the deviled ham, you know, package with the pitchfork and the curly tail. But,
right.
You know, I know you laughed at The Exorcist, but I fucking didn't. So
I think it's so easy to dismiss most things. And
yeah.
When you get down to shit like this,
yeah.
It's not quite as easy to dismiss it.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, people do really believe it. So
right. And also, look, if we know that, you know, there are, you know, potentially an infinite number of possibilities for things and,
sure.
You know, universes and whatnot. And I mean, no, you know, obviously that's, we don't know that, but it's been theorized,
right.
Then, you know, the lines could conceivably be thin, and there's,
sure.
You know, a Lovecraftian creature scratching at the weak parts, trying to, you know, devour men's minds, you know, like in the old ways, you know, it's a possibility.
Sure.
But no, I mean, like you, this was one of those where, you know, I think I was just like, all right, well, I'll try it. And then when I was done, I was like, fuck, yeah, that was great.
So the movie that I heard about that I thought was this was a movie called Marrowbone, which I haven't seen yet.
I have not seen that either.
It's on my short list because I'm told it was reminiscent of Session 9, so.
Okay. I love Session 9. It's one of the few movies with oh shit, who's the guy? The guy who was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, listen to me. NYPD Blue, and then he left to be in Jade, which is a horrible David fuck. Now I need to look that up. Session 9-9. You know what? Like Haunted
David Caruso,
thank you. Haunted Sanitarium. Like I'll do a lot of things. Like, I'll go in a shark cage. I don't give a fuck. Would I be scared? Absolutely, I would be scared. You know, I'll jump out of an airplane. Will I be scared? Absolutely, I'll be scared, but I'll do it. You're like, spend the night in this abandoned sanitarium? Fuck no. No. Not even. Nope. I won't even go near it. No. No, sir. Because shit happens in there. I don't need that in my life. Not even a little. But Session 9 was a great movie. So, like, yeah, Marrowbone. All right, I'll have to check that out. Because if you mentioned those, you know, that's the easiest way. If you want me to watch a movie, and I shouldn't tell you this, because now every time when it's like the Meg 6, you'll be like, oh, no, really supposed to be reminiscent of Session 9. I'll be like, okay.
No.
And I'll be like, that shark doesn't look crazy at all.
But I watched so much pure shit that I never even mentioned to you.
Well, and that's what's funny because, you know, we always, so anytime we're going to do the show, like some, you know, a lot of times we'll have talked about it ahead of time, but, you know, a few days. So typically we record on Thursday. So usually like Monday I'll text Mitch and I'll say, hey, you know, here's what we're going to talk about. But also like, what have you seen? Because I still have time to watch things. And yeah, you usually have like a list of things. And I'm like, I don't know what any of those are. So this time when you were like a dark song, I was like, shit, man, that sounds really familiar. And so I was amazed that like, oh shit, I've actually seen something. Like, you know, like that never happens.
Right?
Yeah, because if it was you, if you were like, what are we going to talk about this week? I'd be like, oh, Voltron, season 7, episode 5. You know, like, Anthony Bourdain went to Tel Aviv. I would like to eat some hummus. You know, like, I am not plugged in. Like, if we weren't doing the show, any people would be like, what's your favorite horror movie over the past 10 years? And I'd be like, Get Out. And then 10 years later, they'd be like, what's your favorite horror movie over the past 10 years? I'd be like, Get Out. Because I just don't know. So that brings us to the next thing. What's next
for the? You know, I really don't know this time. I don't know. Marrowbone. I'll be watching that. I finished the new season of Orange Is the New Black. Yeah. You know, that's one show. I hate binge watching, but I can't. 13 episodes is just not enough of that show for me.
I've never seen it.
Ugh, I love it so much.
And now, and I even with the idea of binging, there's so many seasons now where I'm just like, well, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they dropped the trailer for the new season of Iron Fist, and I was like, that actually, to me, I don't, although, like, a red Iron Fist guy is the villain, I'm like, that seems, I don't know who he is, I don't follow Iron Fist well enough to know who he is, but he was his, like, friend from the first season, but I was just like, really, that's it? His villain is just a guy with the same power, just a different color? Like, that seems,
yeah.
You know, it's like in Spider-Man when, like, every villain was, like, a different animal person.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of movies, I mean, we're in August, right? And August is when they just start going, all right, you know, here's all the things that we didn't want to have to try to compete against other stuff.
During the summer, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So yep. We're just kind of dumping here. But, you know, I was reading about the fall movie preview, and, I mean, you know, Halloween was the big one, but I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's other stuff. I just can't think of it at the moment.
Yeah, same here.
But you know, we'll figure it out. Like I do watch I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, I know. Netflix keeps, there's a show on Netflix called I Am a Killer, and they really they really want me to watch that. They're like, look, dude, you watch all the British murder shows, like you watch them all, like just come on, like just watch it. Like you watched The Staircase, you know, twice.
How was that?
Here's the thing that's weird about it. So, you know, it was originally a 6 or 9 part. I don't remember. And then recently, just like this past year, they tacked another 3 episodes on for things that had changed, new developments in the trial. And I was like, you know, I kind of saw that it came up and I was like, hey, I like true crime stuff. I'll watch it. And I started watching it and I was like, I've seen this. I can't tell you when I watched it. I went and Wikipedia'd it and they had like taken the whole thing and boiled it down into a 2-hour movie. But they also showed the whole documentary series on Sundance. And I must have watched it on that because I remembered – here's the thing. I remembered enough to know the basic premise but not enough to know whether he got convicted or let off or any of that stuff. So the whole time I'm watching it, I have enough of the memory to go, I've seen this but not enough to know what happened.
Yeah.
So I watched it again and then I watched the new episodes. And I think it's – you know, it's definitely worth watching. If anything, I think just to, I don't know, it's very much kind of in the same vein as like Making a Murderer where, you know, now I don't know whether that guy did it in Making a Murderer or not. I know that the young guy got fucking railroaded. And I think that The Staircase is a similar kind of thing where, you know, you kind of, it's just another kind of demonstration of when law enforcement gets so laser focused on a particular person that's just, you know, that's just who they go with.
Right.
And, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're watching what the filmmaker wants you to see. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, you have to take that into consideration too. So it's definitely worth watching. If anything, just to like, you know, because it was set in like the '90s, and you're just like, oh yeah, okay, I remember. Oh yeah,
I've started it twice and just never kind of lost interest.
Yeah, so. Yeah. If you've started it twice and bounced off it, I don't think it's that good that you're really missing anything if you, you know, rewatch it. I mean, you try to plow through it. You know, if you're curious as to what happened, you can just watch it on, or sorry, read about it on Wikipedia. I don't think you really missed that much. So, so whatever it is we do.
Predators. I'm sorry, I'm looking at movies.
Yeah.
Predators is the only thing before Halloween that I know I really
and
want to see.
And when's that come out?
It looks like mid-September, September 14th, 13th.
Okay, so we'll have we'll have some time.
Yeah.
That. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for me, like I'm traveling next week, so I'm going to be in Europe. So I don't know.
Oh yeah, cool.
How much I'll actually be able to see of things, but maybe the international flights will have something good to watch. So who knows? And then it's just beer and chocolate and French fries and waffles for like I'm going to Belgium.
Hell yeah.
So for like three days, I'm just gonna fucking. The most funny. My wife was like, you know, so she's got a work trip, and I was like, and just she mentioned to me, she's like, you know, I would enjoy it a lot more if you came with me. And I was like, well, why can't I come with you? And she was like, you would come with me? And I was like, fuck yeah, I'd go with you. Why wouldn't I? And so she found out that, yeah, the people who go to these trips, they bring their spouses all the time. So I was like, yeah. So, you know, we booked that kind of extra hotel to tack on at the end, and I paid for the plane ticket. And originally I was going to work while I was there because I was still at my past job, but I quit that job. And the job I'm at now, they're like, you can't work in Europe because we make software for the government, and they won't allow that for you to take a machine hooked up to their systems into a foreign country. And I was like, so you're saying I have to tour Belgium? For by myself for 3 days? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, fuck yeah. So one of the days, me and my wife's boss's husband, whom I hope is a nice guy, we're taking a three and a half hour beer and chocolate walking tour of Brussels. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yes. And my wife said to me, she goes, well, you'll just have to eat a bigger lunch before that. And I said, what are you talking about? She's like, well, if you're going to be walking around, you're not going to be done until like 7:30, 4.5 hours. It's from 3:30 to 7:30, 3 until 7:30. She's like, if you're going to be taking a 4.5 hour walking tour, you're going to need to eat a bigger lunch. I said, what do you mean bigger lunch? Every meal I eat there is going to be fucking huge. What are you, crazy? Like, I've never been to Europe except for a layover in an airport. I'm going to fucking eat them out of house and home. Like, every meal will be bigger. And at the end of this thing, I'm going to be drunk and be stuffed to the gills on chocolate. And guess what I'm going to do? Eat again. So it should be interesting. I've been to Canada. And I went on a cruise and, you know, and that's it. And I went to Russia four times. So.
Right.
But, you know, so I'm excited to kind of see, you know, just eat stuff. Like, so. But anyway, it makes watching movies difficult. It's a very long-winded way of saying that, you know, I don't know what it is we're going to talk about. But we'll figure something out. And hopefully we'll get the technical things worked out. But, you know, this actually didn't turn out too bad. I'm hoping it sounds okay because it was certainly a lot easier. Well, I say that now. I haven't actually tried to turn it into a show. So we'll see. But anyway, so that's it for us. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been episode, 53. Thank you.
53.
Episode 53 of Divided by Werewolves. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we hope you spend some more time with us in the next couple weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night, and have a good evening.